Roosevelt, Stalin, Coca-Cola. Hi. Welcome to the HBO Boys podcast.
Wow.
Today, we're here to talk about a whole lot of stuff, mainly Masters of the Air, episodes 8 and 9, rounding out the first and only season of the spiritual successor to Band of Brothers and the Pacific. But before we get there, you know, Adam, who's also here with me for sure.
Hello.
Yeah, sick. You know what we don't do often enough?
What don't we do?
Use your talents for monetary gain.
Sure. Right on.
I'd like you to do a little song about how you feel about Masters of the Air. 6-7 words tops. Rip it. Don't think about it. Just go.
Masters of the Air. I'm inherently sounding like Elvis because he's also in this show. Oh, yeah.
See? That's grade A podcasting.
What?
How do we not do that more?
What content?
Okay. Now, same thing, but for hot dogs.
Oh, hot dogs. Yeah, I sound like Elvis even though he's not in talking about hot dogs. Yeah.
What is Elvis?
That was more Metallica, actually.
Yeah. Turn the page a little bit. What do you think? Do you think Metallica thinks that hot dogs are a sandwich?
Yeah!
So. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there, baby. See, we could be famous if I just named things and then you were like, I want to be Metallica about it.
I want to be real James Hetfield about it.
Yeah. Okay, so elephant in the closet. We didn't do a podcast last week.
Elephant in the closet.
And that's our bad. We were gonna, and then we did it.
You know, life got the best of us.
Life
you
got
were busy.
The best of us.
I was busy.
We were
busy. It happens.
It happens.
But we're here now.
I haven't talked to you while recording in 2 weeks.
I was gonna say we spoke on Friday.
We spoke a lot, right? Yeah. We have a normal cadence with each other. We're friends in real life.
Yeah, but, for sure.
To the outside world, we are only friends once a week, sometimes once every 2 weeks if life gets in the way.
It's like the Mythbusters. They weren't actually friends, but they kind of portrayed it.
In fact, it's not like that at all.
No, it's not like that. Yeah, we're actually friends.
But this is all to say, I haven't talked to you professionally in about 2 weeks. And never mind on Avatar. I'm good. I think it's lame, so don't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know, man. There was somewhere during like episode 3, I think.
Yeah.
And there was just like a moment. I can't even honestly remember what it is. I sort of blacked it out. It was just so dumb that I pressed pause and turned it off.
Did you even finish it?
No.
You didn't even finish it.
Why would I do that to myself? Why? It hurt. Something hurt me so much to my core. A moment happened that I was like, and we're done.
Oh, no. That's
yeah,
sad.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day.
Is it as bad as the movie that doesn't exist?
That movie doesn't exist, so no, it's not nearly as bad. This is Citizen Gosh Dang Kane.
Oh.
As opposed
to... That's unfortunate.
That movie that does not exist. So,
Well, I don't know if I spoke about this on the pod.
Okay,
but I did watch the show The Gentlemen, not the movie, not to be confused with the movie, but it is in the same universe as The Gentlemen movie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You've never really?
I don't know. Describe it further, and perhaps I will.
So the Gentlemen, it was the movie by who did The Gentlemen? I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Is that's bad?
I could have sworn you had to have seen this movie.
Okay. The League of Extraordinary, because I've seen that.
No, not the League of Extraordinary.
I've seen that.
That's funny though. It's a Guy Ritchie,
the Gentleman
Guy Ritchie movie.
Okay,
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I've never seen this movie. I've just watched every ounce of it on TikTok over
time.
Dude,
please, you gotta watch the movie.
I did watch it.
The movie is so good.
In clips that aren't in a row.
Oh, God.
You know,
that infuriates me.
That's fine.
Just watch
it. I like Colin. No, I won't. Colin Farrell in this movie is really great.
He's great.
McConaughey plays himself. Jeremy Strong's character I detest. I hate what he's wearing. I hate his voice. Everything about him. Okay, so they took this, right?
Yeah.
And they decided, okay, we're going to take a Guy Ritchie movie, cost $22 million to make, box office $115 million, and we're going to make a Netflix series out of this starring Giancarlo Esposito and Theo James.
Oof.
Giancarlo of Breaking Bad fame and Theo James of White Lotus fame. You've watched the entire first season, you say?
It's done. I finished it, yeah.
Kaya Scolardiero, also in that movie.
Yep.
in show. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's
Tale. She was great.
And Vinny Jones was in this?
Yes, he was.
Was?
Well, I mean, he was in the show, yeah.
Dude, spoilers, dude.
not trying to get anything deep there.
You just killed him.
No. But right. Theo James, you know, the only thing I knew him from was White Lotus, and I didn't like his character intentionally. Like, it was designed for me to not like his character, right?
Sure.
He was excellent in this show. Truly excellent. And then he played the brother of a man named Freddie, who is Daniel Ings. I think I'm saying that right. Daniel sure. Ings. He was also equally as good. This entire cast was so fun, and it had the same exact feel of the Gentleman movie, but it was in a completely different kind of setting. But yeah, highly recommend it if you were into the movie or like Guy Ritchie. It definitely will scratch your itch.
Okay, so did Theo James use his English accent?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Cool. And this is created by Guy Ritchie, the series.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, okay, he also directed the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm, which makes sense.
He was there, yep. Right?
Yeah.
And he wrote the first two episodes as well. So yeah, no, he was around.
He was around. And the first two episodes really, I mean, it, you know how they always say like the pilot episode sets up the characters and stuff. This, I mean, it
sure,
was.
That if is
it,
its goal.
Yeah. If they weren't done as well as they were, the rest of the show wouldn't have been as good. Even sure. If it was exactly the same. The first two episodes were really good.
Hmm. All right.
Highly well, recommend.
It's on
highly
Netflix.
Recommend.
So
it is.
Did it give the like, this is all on a soundstage vibe or no?
No, this absolutely did not. This took place, I believe, on a real like estate. I mean, it was a lot of outdoor shots. It was really beautifully done.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. You recommended something for me, and now I shall recommend something for you.
Let's go.
Have you watched any or seen anything of Shogun?
No, but I keep seeing ads for it, and I saw the Metacritic rating of it. I think I saw it.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, this is on Hulu. I'm like four episodes in, and it does require a person to be okay with subtitles sometimes.
That's fine.
But it also ends up doing a thing that I think is cool where like it will introduce you to two characters who have a translator between them. Okay. And you'll get one scene of the translator like doing their job and actually saying words. But the next time they meet and the translator is still there, they just cut the translator out. So it is two characters talking, one perhaps in English and one in their native language, or both in English all of a sudden. So like they just make large sweeping choices with the way they're presenting a lot of people, some which are talking or speaking Portuguese, some which are speaking Japanese, some and like the plus English as well. So they get around it in, I think, a really graceful way. Plus, the visuals are so cool, and I'm just having a whole lot of fun with it. So
this is a Hulu show, huh?
It's a Hulu show, yeah.
Hulu is, you know, there's some silent killers, no pun intended, in Hulu. Like, there's a lot of really bad stuff on Hulu.
Yeah, Death and Other Details, the thing I just watched, went from very good to very bad. So, obviously, I mean, every service is hit or miss, but so far, It seems pretty cool.
How many episodes are out, or is it all out?
I think about half of them are out.
Oh, okay.
And then it's releasing one a week until April 23rd. It's a 10-episode first season. Right. Well, it's a mini series, I suppose, because it's based off of a book. So they're just doing the book.
Yeah. 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 No, I keep seeing little snips of it, you know, either scrolling on TikTok or on the internet in general. And it looks, I love these type of movies. I really love like samurai themed things. I think it's very cool. I'll absolutely check this out. We have Hulu.
Nice, dude. You're rich.
Yeah. We're rich. We're going to be rich.
Yeah. Rich in flavor.
Rich in flavor. And
character.
And, you know, appetite of shows.
And
just
money.
Rich appetite. And money.
Also, this is like a complete side note, but as I was thinking about what I've been watching and chilling with and like what to talk about and stuff.
Yeah.
Justin, friend of the show. And member of our Severance podcast, or not Severance. I was saying that because I'm about to talk about Severance, Succession podcast, plus many others. He texted me because he was the one who told me to watch Shogun, and I got into it. And then I texted him to be like, "Yo, Shogun's pretty good." And he's like, "Yeah, sure, whatever. Shogun, great. Have you watched Severance?" And I was like, "Oh yeah."
He's just getting on board with that now.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
And because he watched the first season.
Sure.
So I've been thinking about that show a bunch lately because of it. And, you know, between the fallout of the showrunners, which has been pretty public, the writer's strike, but Ben Stiller also, you know, posting on social media saying they're giving it their all. They're in the middle of it. They're trying. I don't know when the next season of that is out, but the amount I've been thinking about Severance has really, like, overall affected my vibes on Avatar, which I was already sad about, and then Shogun, which I was like, okay, no, but this is still pretty good. And then I'm just sort of giving an overall context as we later in the show move into Masters of the Air, because it's just not good to be reminded that something else is so much, so much better. It's and on the same medium. Anyway, have you watched Quiet on Set, the Nickelodeon thing, dude?
Sure. I was going to say, I also watched that.
I didn't like it.
Wild.
I didn't like that one bit.
It kind of ruined 90s Nickelodeon a little bit for me. Being a 90s baby.
Because of all the sexual assault?
Oh, so they were showing clips of the shows that I remember watching when they aired.
Yeah, every time a person I recognized showed up, I was like, oh no, something terrible is about to happen to this character.
Yeah.
And not character, human being.
Yeah, they're real, Ryan.
Nah. I saw what Amanda Bynes looks like
for
the first time in a bit.
She regularly posts on social media.
Boy, oh boy, huh?
Yeah, it's a different person.
Deep dark road she went down.
Yeah, for sure. After they released this, everyone's saying, oh, I wish Amanda Bynes would tell her story. I kind of want to hear it now.
Like, I would too.
It was pretty weird what was going on with her and Mr. Schneider.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't like his name.
I'm not a fan of him or his face.
His whole deal, really. And he was a character like in the shows and in the movies. Like, he played the manager of the Good Burger movie.
Yeah, he put himself in his own movies.
I know. And I was like, oh no. I didn't know how much of an influence like that guy had. Wild. So wild.
Yeah. And then, when like Lohan made her comeback, everyone was like, good for her. Didn't think it could happen. But that's such a low bar. If Bynes made a comeback, dude.
Whoa. Whoa. That would be unprecedented.
Well, it'd be climbing Everest. And like, congrats, you did it.
Yeah, right.
How much of Quiet on Set have you watched?
I finished it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that, that second episode where that problematic Drake Bell got on and was like, I got a story to tell?
Oh, yeah. And this is like legit the first time he publicly said anything. It's the first time. And so I don't know if you caught it, but there was one scene where they were asking one of the old crew, like, there was, you know, sexual assault against one of the kids on set. And he was like, one of our kids? And like, they had no idea. Like, they were breaking the news while they were making this documentary.
Yeah, and I'm not going to get into like the details of it all. I think you watch it for yourselves if you want to. I would recommend it. It's messed up.
Yeah, it's messed up.
But what I'm going to say is the reactions to it are weird. Mainly, it's the, if you were on Nickelodeon or have anything to do with it around that time, everyone's getting mad at you if you're not speaking out, like if you're not making a statement. Specifically, everyone's mad at Josh Peck right now. And by everyone, I mean like all the annoying people, I think, because they're like, how dare he not say anything? And I was like, okay, here's this thing, guys.
You don't have that burden to bear.
No, but also this thing, Drake Bell, who, by the way, yesterday went to bat, like defended Josh Peck. I was like, I did not see this on my 2024 bingo card. I'll tell you that right now. Because Drake Bell has been in some hot water lately for some awful stuff. And then he was like, guys, turns out, whew. And then and the world is like, how dare Josh Peck? Like, what? Jeez. Get out of here with that. No. It's just so, I don't know.
Did you see the response that Dan Schneider gave to this airing? He released a response about it.
I watched 5 seconds of it, and I was like, I'm good.
I'm good with seeing his face ever again.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to get to the end of it and be like, you know what? He makes a good point.
Yeah, no. It was more or less just like acknowledging. Like he was like, man, I got a lot of apologies to make.
My favorite part was the interviewer who, I think this is a direct quote. So what's the deal with the writer's room? Because man, didn't look good. Like, what the? You got, this is the guy we chose? This is an opportunity to have like a 60 minutes with Dan Schneider. And we chose this guy? All right, then.
Yeah, that whole thing is absolutely wild, and it's blowing up on social media. I mean, like, I see that every other TikTok I see is now something about Drake Bell, something about Dan Schneider, something about Nickelodeon.
Nick. It was messed up the whole time. I didn't want to watch it last night.
No?
I want to watch more of Shogun. I haven't watched all of it's out. But it was I got overridden.
Oh, and boy.
I also was like, I don't know if I want this to be my night. Because before I went into it, I was like, I get it. Right? Like, I have a TikTok account. I know what I'm about to see, generally. I think I'm okay.
But are you glad that you watched it, though?
No.
You're not glad that you watched it?
It was exactly what I thought it was going to be, and it was very upsetting.
It was upsetting.
I only have so much time to put my eyes on a screen. Okay, and this is selfish of me, but I don't want to just be upset.
I think that even though I knew it was going to be really upsetting, it was one of those shows that like I was directly affected by watching Nickelodeon as a kid. So I was like, this, like, I can relate very like accurately to this time period because I know I've seen these shows. I've seen
I was
actors.
There.
I was on set. You know, no, but like that's the reason why I watched it, because like I was seeing clips of like the, like I said, the actual episodes of like the things I remember airing the first time. And yeah, it's just wild. It's wild. Really sad.
Yeah, it's incredibly sad. I mean, there's literally a moment when they're like, so Drake, what happened? And he goes, just think of the worst stuff. Yeah, the worst stuff imaginable. That's what happened. That. And then it cuts to a copy of a court document saying very specifically what happened. Yeah. And all I could think was like, did they run that by him?
Like, probably not.
Did they were like, hey, when you say, and when you're vague about it purposely, we're just going to show on screen what happened. Because if I was him watching, I'd be like, what the? Come on. That's not. That's terrible. Actually, I'm suing you.
Creative decisions. Like, creative. No, I'm sure he got the gave the okay to do.
I hope so, because it's a terrible thing to do to a person otherwise. Anyway, let's. You know what? I'm gonna pivot.
Yeah.
The actual best thing I watched this week.
Sure.
Was a TikTok account called The Fractal Knot.
Okay.
Go to The Fractal Knot. Go back to the beginning of that feed.
Yeah.
And just welcome in the amazing and wide sprawling story of sentient/technologically advanced vegetables and their world that grows out over time.
It
does bring up like, okay, all the visuals are AI generated and the narration is AI generated, but it's written by a human being.
One more time, what's it called?
The TikTok account is called The Fractal Knot. TheFractalNaut. And
okay,
it's just a bunch of sentient vegetables getting all up, getting into it. And the visuals are so cool.
Yeah, AI is wild. It's kind of scary.
I'm fine with it. And I don't, this is not a bit. It might be a bit. I don't know when things are bits anymore. This isn't, I don't think this is a bit. Get
Say
over
bit
it.
One more time.
Get over it, guys.
I think just it's get just, over it. We can go for so long talking about AI, but it's part of it is like, that's cool. I can utilize that. It's very neat for creative stuff. But the other side is like, that's terrifying.
I honestly think it's a naming problem.
Oh?
Yeah, if it was not called artificial intelligence, AI.
If it was just called Jerry.
Right.
Yeah. Jerry's fine.
That image was made with Blup.
That was Blup.
Yeah, it was Blup that did that. No, it was Blup. And it was Blup that did it. And Blup is coming. And it's really cool. It just like does what you want it to do, and it's like free. And what did you say? Oh, Blup is taking over artists' jobs.
That still sounds terrible.
I don't know. How about the artists just be better? Blup is sick. Oof. No, that's like the I don't even know if that's my actual take. I just think it's funny.
It's not. Come on.
It might be.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Anyway, Masters of the Air.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Masters of the Air, as I started this podcast, Roosevelt, Stalin, Coca-Cola, the things that are screamed by one of the main characters of Masters of the Air to not get killed by Russians. So yeah, so just general vibes. Episode 8, episode 9. What were your thoughts as the series ended?
You know, I said at the beginning of this podcast, I was excited to learn about the Tuskegee Airmen because they're a very cool sect of the Air Force. And
oh, cool. They were barely in the show.
And they were in the show, and they did some really cool things at the beginning, and then they were all shot down.
and then they became Masters of the Ground. Tuskegee Groundmen.
Yeah, right. So that episode, it was fine. It was a good episode. I think it was a little slow, but it definitely ramped up in the finale episode.
Yeah,
which I did
okay.
Like. I like the finale episode.
I'm gonna split the finale up.
Okay.
It was about an hour 10 long. Mm-hmm. The last 30 minutes I thought was truly great.
Sure.
Like right after the Crosby's monologue.
Oh yes.
It's when it became great. The prison attack scene was dope.
Mm-hmm.
Walking through the camps.
Yeah, the marches, right?
Was, boy, oh boy, really upsetting.
Yeah.
Rosenthal walking through camps was just terrible. And then the escape, they tried to escape. It didn't go very well.
Didn't go well.
One of them. And then just like the general overall, boy, these guys are going to die going from Nuremberg to Stalag to Stalag to Stalag. And then eventually some of them getting away. We got to meet a new friend. He was like, I like baseball. And then eight seconds later, a kid stabbed him.
Oh, that was a really upsetting scene. That reminded me of the scene in Saving Private Ryan.
Yes, shut up. I hate you.
You know exactly what I'm talking
about. Don't even talk about it. You tell the audience in case they don't know that I know, and I am upset with you.
Yeah, the scene in Saving Private Ryan where there is no music and it's just an American and a German fighting with knives, and the German gains the upper ground and slowly, slowly, slowly stabs a knife into the guy's heart as he's gasping for air, and it's very upsetting.
It's upset. I'm upset now.
It's just, it's like one of those scenes that is burned in your brain if you've ever seen it. I mean, the movie is great. I highly recommend watching it. Don't not watch it because that one scene. But
Saving Private Ryan?
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course everyone should watch that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
You out of your mind?
It. Well, I mean, some people will be like, ew, that's gross. But
yeah, that's true.
You should watch it anyway.
Yeah, and then, okay, let's talk about Crosby's speech for a second.
Yeah.
God, it was annoying. I
hate it. Tell me exactly what you didn't like.
Okay. This is my reenactment. This is not word for word. I'm just going off of vibes of what that speech was. Yeah. Ask me if I'm ready to be a father over and over again.
Crosby, are you ready to be a father?
Yeah, man.
But like, are you ready to be a father?
Now, No, I'm about to monologue. Hold on.
You're ready to be one though, right?
No, I'm not. And I'm about to monologue, so hold up. You know, war changes a man for the worse. And then I out loud said at the TV, oh yeah?
No way.
No way, man. And then he gets up. Okay, you can't see me right now because this is an audio medium.
Sure.
But pretend I have a drink in my hand, get up, walk slowly over to a fireplace and look into it like a moron.
It was like so on the nose. The thing about it was like, it was like he was auditioning for a really dramatic role.
Okay, so I'm looking into a fireplace, right? And you're Rosie, okay? And I go, you know, Rosie, sometimes I wake up and I don't even recognize myself in the mirror. Also, I read a quote once by Nietzsche, and it was, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That's what I truly like to be, because if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, then World War II wouldn't have happened. Nietzsche said that. Anyway. Do I think I'm going to be a good dad? How could I ever know now that I've changed so much from the war?
Who knows what I've been before the war?
Probably a poet, fireman, astronaut. Wait, scratch that last one.
It didn't even exist yet.
First astronaut. I'm going to go to the sun. Get out on walk the space. And this is dumb. I did not like it. Okay, here's my problem.
You sure?
I think I wrote down while this last episode was happening, hey, is Masters of the Air bad? And I think I came to a conclusion that it's not bad.
It's not
bad. You know
what
it is?
I think it is not the strong. It is the worst of the
three.
It's
good.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah, for something that had so much lead up time with some excellent showrunners.
Yo, you mean
the powerhouse that is Apple
TV? Tom Hanks and
Steven
Spielberg with a list of directors that includes Tim Van Patten, Dee Reese, Anna Boden, Ryan Fleck, and Kerry Joji Fukunawa. Like, some of the best directors that are working today. John Orloff, who wrote on Band of Brothers back in the day as the showrunner.
Yep.
Just
yep.
Set up completely to succeed. And then... I don't know, man. Just feels like they dropped the ball.
Yeah, what failed? Was it the writing? Was it the actor's performance,
no,
maybe? Was it the casting?
It was the writing. It was the decisions.
It was
they
the
made.
Writing.
It was...
Yeah, yeah.
It was you. The best character you killed off in an explosion in episode 3.
Yeah,
that's because true. That's what happened to him in real life, but like, whatever, dude. Like, I don't like that. And then... They were, and Masters of the Air were on the ground. We talk about that the entire time. The Tuskegee Airmen are on the poster, but they're in it for 5 seconds while in the sky.
Yeah, and they were a big part of the promo, too. They had, like, lines from that episode. And, you know, to know that was, you know, 35 minutes of them, and that was it.
And by the way, like,
yeah, it's a bummer.
Context matters, right? You just talked about Saving Private Ryan. Was any part of this World War II show... even close to as good as the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, nope. No, that's widely regarded as some of the best, well, the best 15 minutes in cinematic history.
Yeah, but
or most accurate to life.
I'm saying,
you know, I guess you'd go either
way. I'm saying at this point, this is where we are. If you are going to do a show about magic and swords, don't even suit up. If you don't think you're getting seasons 1 through 4 Game of Thrones, if you're not getting close to that, keep the sword in the wherever swords go and don't do it. If you are gonna do a show about World War II and you aren't gonna even like be able to look over the edge of something and see the D-Day attack at the beginning of Saving Private Ryan, don't do it. Dunkirk has been around only for 4 years now, and it was great. I'm not saying it was better than Saving Private Ryan, because I don't think it was, but it was up there. No. It really gave it a run for its money in some places. And if you come at me with Masters of the Air Ground, and you have 8,000 main characters, all of which are barely flying in the air, and then the ones that are on the poster are on screen for 8, 7, 6 seconds tops. And then you have Barry Keoghan in the show. Sadly, this was shot like 3 years ago. Perhaps they didn't know that he'd be one of the biggest stars in the world. But they had Austin Butler well, and they put him on screen. So who knows? But like, at one point, Sam looked at me yesterday and was like, Austin Butler hasn't been on screen for 25 minutes. And I was like, yeah.
We know.
Noted.
It's a bummer. Yeah, they need to raise the bar. They need to increase the caliber, no pun intended, of their and of their offerings, because it's hard to be like, I want to invest my time into this when I know it's not going to be as good. There was parts of the show that I think were about on the same level. There's definitely pieces of it, but as a whole, you're right, it's good. It's good. But it's not this. It's the third strongest of the three,
which is a bummer. Because, by the way, the reviews are generally positive. We are currently, in the minority here, and it's just a bummer because some parts of it, some 1 to 2 minute stretches of this show, were so cool and so beautiful, like visually, especially, and so well done, but they were just sort of put into a hodgepodge of narration and lack of character cohesion and lack of making me care about almost any of the characters because they were barely doing anything to make me care. So
they jumped around a lot. It was hard to follow. There was a couple of scenes where it jumped around. I'm like, whoa, wait, what? And I like had to like recalibrate my brain to like focus on the thing that we just jumped to. Like the whole, we talked about it when it aired, the whole side quest, the two guys dropping in France, like that was totally unnecessary. Give me more of the main story.
And then
story.
It was just over. Turns out they were fine.
And then they just appeared. Yeah, they just appeared at the Air Force. Oh, they get to go home. Cool. What?
Okay, I'm just saying, John Orloff writes that, right? He hands it to somebody and they don't go, what is this about? Why'd you do that? And John was like, let me write. I don't know if that's how John Orloff talks, but I assume he's just like, no notes. I will
not
be taking notes. Anyway.
Your notes are inferior to my writing.
I am John Orloff. Last 30 was good, though. It was really good, actually. In fact,
the
end,
it wrapped up
when they're flying and they're giving the people food and the people are psyched and like, you know, and they're in the air doing a thing in the air. That's good. And also their description of the end of war being so discombobulating, being so just what do you do now? Like, this has been my life for the better part of 5 to 6 years. What do you even do now? I just go home.
That government check.
Right. Like, I just go home. That's crazy. It doesn't suck.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not as exciting.
As we've covered in this. Yes. Right. As we've covered in this podcast before, war is bad.
Is bad.
But like you just said, you're about to go to something that's less exciting than war. and you have complicated feelings about it, and I bet you feel guilty about it too, because you're like happy to go see your family, but a lot of your friends are dead, especially if you're in the bloody 100th, where they chose to do this story specifically because the most of them died.
Yeah, and that's a bummer. Maybe that was their misstep in this whole show, is they should have done an air division that not everyone died.
Like a little less. Yeah, right. Only a little.
But I did like how they wrapped up all the characters with the real life characters' photos and the real life characters' story. And a lot of them lived long lives into their 80s and 90s.
Yeah, except for Bucky, so who had a heart attack in the Pentagon at 45 years old.
Oh, yeah. What a bummer. Yes, remember that. That is a bummer. Yeah, but the show ended up redeeming itself, wrapped a nice little bow on it, and throw it on the shelf in the number 3 spot for me.
And by the way, it took so long to make that during it, the commercials before it are of a show called Manhunt with one of the characters, or one of the actors who's in Masters of the Air, Anthony Boyle, playing John Wilkes Booth. And so and by the way, Manhunt's already out. You can go watch it. The Google reviews of that, by the way, are mostly people mad about characters, a character or two not looking like their historical counterparts. Mm. And because I think it's unhinged to write what you think or are thinking on the internet, obviously I only think it's cool to talk about it on a podcast. Sure. I do have to see this show for myself because I hate, all the reviews are like, Patton Oswalt looks nothing like Secretary Stanton. Like, okay, sir, you know what I would like you to do? I'd like you to shush it. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, some stuff is not a historical recreation. It's just more of a retelling. Like, I think of the movie Titanic, and that's back in the 90s. That casting was intentionally supposed to be really spot on, and guess what? It was. It was spot on. One-to-one with some of these actors to the real people. They did an excellent job with costume and casting. But, some of the stuff, if it's the person... I don't expect them to look exactly like some random political figure that's not in the media.
Yeah, okay, but with Titanic, how much better would it be, if Rose was played by Andre the Giant? Leo? You know who Leo is. Who's Leo?
Leo is Tom Hardy.
No, he's Hulk Hogan, okay?
Oh, Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan and Andre the
Billy
Giant
Zane.
Fighting over the piece.
Billy Zane. Who's playing Billy Zane's part?
Sting.
Nope, it's Macho Man Randy Savage. Pretty close.
Oh, understood.
And the Titanic.
I see where you're
the Titanic,
see where
the
you're
boat
going.
Itself.
Yeah.
Lex Luger.
Oh, I was going to say, that's WWE.
Yeah, that's Vince McMahon. And he goes down. He gets canceled.
It's the McMahon family. Yeah, for sure. Oh, boy. This is so much upsetting shit in the media lately. Yeah.
The outside is terrible, and our phones tell us about it all day. It's a downside of having the outside be on a screen all the time.
And it's a bummer they're about to ban TikTok in the United States.
They're probably not. It'll be fine.
I know. But just another upsetting thing in the media.
I guess. Yeah. No. If you want a person's opinion who doesn't matter at all, it's not going to happen. It'll be fine. I've read one thing. It'll be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what would also be cool, Adam?
What's that?
Giving money to our Patreon. Patreon.com/HBOBOYZ. It's $1 a month. You get these episodes earlier and ad free, and you get a bunch of extra bonus content, and you get to join a private Discord and talk to your boys all week, and it's $1 a month, so it's like $12 a year. Also, Adam says your name at the end of the show.
I do that.
And that's about to happen right now.
That's going
to
happen right now. We'd like to thank our patrons, our current patrons, Sunshine, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, Adam Donging Ryan, Chris Wood, Brent Ginn, Craig John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Susan, and Buffalo Pizzle. Thank you so much for your donations, your subscriptions. Please feel free to change your tier if you're feeling crazy. Also, share it with your friends and family, because that's pretty cool too. We'd also like to thank Sunshine and Brent Ginn for being our $5 a month tier patrons. Thank you so much for that. This just pays for us to operate the podcast in a good way. And also follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Pod on Instagram and Threads, at the HBO Boys on TikTok, wherever else you get social media. We probably have something and it may or may not get updated. But I have been very active on Threads, and I've been saying this the past couple episodes. I post pretty regularly on Threads, and I respond to a lot of people on Threads. So if you use Threads, give us a follow.
Why?
Because we post and interact with you on Threads, Ryan.
Okay. I'll do it then.
I post little audio blips on Threads.
Of us?
No, of me.
Oh.
I mean, if you want to do it, next time I see you, we can post something.
Well, I don't. I'm good.
Okay.
But I will if you follow.
Yeah, if you follow, Ryan will shout you out personally.
I'll do it. I'm a shill.
A what?
Shill.
Oh, you're chill. You said shill.
No, okay. I did say shill. I said that. That's the word I said.
Understood.
Google it.
I'm going to Google it right now. You wait one moment.
You know what? Now that I've Googled it, you don't Google it. Anyway, we got to go. Can't do it. Got to get out of here. So... thank you for joining us this week. And now, Adam, do a song about me getting words wrong.
Oh, Ryan, he gets the words wrong. And I'm still sounding like Elvis because Austin Butler's in this show. Yeah, baby.
Oh. I'm going to be honest with you. You nailed it.
I'm so glad you think
we end podcasts too often but with the term or phrase nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.